Dear Heavenly Father, we are so honored and humbled this evening to have the opportunity to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us such love in which you have shown us how much you love us through your Son, Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, for the message tonight that Brother Wallace will proclaim. Pray, Lord, that those listening tonight will have their Bibles open so that they can see for themselves about what the Holy Scriptures say about the Lamb of God. Heavenly Father, we are just humbled tonight to have this opportunity to assemble once more. You have allowed us to have this gospel meeting since the month of May. In spite of all the things that are going on in this world, we still have this avenue, this meeting that you have allowed us to have to share this gospel with a lost and dying world. Lord, we pray that your word not return to you void. We ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flannery. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, and we're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are VIP, a very important person of the call. We put this call on with you in mind. We believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right and final authority from God. Open your Bible, take notes on the things we said, and pay particular attention to the things that I speak will speak about tonight as it pertains to the saving of your precious soul. Thank you for accepting our invitation to allow us to come into your home for 30 minutes. Please listen carefully. Our speaker tonight, Brother Person, Brother Tony Wallace, preacher, spoke last night, Brother Stubblefield, done a wonderful job. We have a sound congregation, you all, in Edmond, Oklahoma. Brother Wallace was involved in full-time evangelism about 15 years, and now he's one of the elder shepherds. We call him elder, shepherd, pastor, bishop, all the same office in the church for those who visit him. He's at the Deer Creek Church of Christ in Edmond, Oklahoma for almost 2 years. He's been married with his wife, Ginger, for 28 years. So glad to have him on the call tonight. And we've given him a assigned topic tonight about the Lamb of God. Our theme for this month has been for the preachers and the elders, sound of the trumpet from Isaiah 58 and the verses number 1. Now, when we sound our trumpet, we tell the truth. So, Brother Wallace, it's your time. Go ahead and blow the trumpet. Let me hear you talk about the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I appreciate the opportunity that you and the other members at Highland Heights have given me to talk about such an important subject. It's a privilege to be able to talk to so many people at one time. And I just look forward to the opportunity to share this word with you and be able to break down some of the things concerning the Lamb of God that I think are going to be extremely important in order for us to have a true relationship with God and to be able to obey the gospel. Tonight we are sounding the trumpet about the Lamb. Jesus has many titles in Scripture. In Revelation 22:13, he's the Alpha and the Omega. In Matthew 9:15, he is the bridegroom. In John 10:11, he's the good shepherd. And in Hebrews 4:14, he is the great high priest. John 8:58, he is the I am. And in Isaiah 7, verse 14, he is Emmanuel. Revelation 17:14, he is the King of Kings. And in John 1:1, he is the Word. He is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Each one of these is a description concerning his deity, his role and relationship to God and to man. So tonight, we have the privilege of talking about the Lamb, which deals with his role and his relationship. But in order for us to understand Jesus as the Lamb, we need to begin in the Old Testament and look at the role and the relationship of lambs under the Old Testament sacrificial system. Animal sacrifice to us today seems morbid. It seems to some cruel. But in the Old Testament, it was necessary in order that sin be punished. Why? Somebody asked. Because God, in all his holiness and righteousness, stands inflexible against any and all sin. You see, unlike man, sin is personally offensive to God. And he cannot tolerate or be in a relationship with sin. And so God's justice demands sin to be punished. But he had a choice to make. How can he punish sin and still save the sinner? Hebrews 9:23 requires blood to be shed in order for forgiveness to be attained. And so instead of punishing the sinner, which would ultimately destroy him physically, God allowed animals to be punished on behalf of the sinner, a substitute, if you will. Sometimes it was a goat, sometimes it was a heifer or a bull, a ram, or if you were poor, two turtle doves. But in Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 through 42, God tells Moses to offer up two lambs, one in the morning and one in the evening, every single day. How much blood would that have been shed? We're not used to that today. But under the Old Testament sacrificial system, they were. And lambs were used in connection with the sin offering, Leviticus 4:32, as well as the guilt offering in Leviticus 5:5-7. It was a lamb that was killed, and its blood poured over the doorpost so that the Passover, the destroyer, would pass over those who were within inside. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, it was a lamb that was used as a substitutionary sacrifice in Genesis 22 when Abraham was about to kill his son on the mountain. The sacrificing of the lamb had a process. Number one, the lamb had to be mature. According to Exodus 12 and verse 5, 1 year old at least. It's interesting to me as I thought about this when I was preparing the lesson that Jesus was also mature when he was crucified. In his time, you had to be at least 30 years old to be considered an adult. And here he was, 33 years old as the lamb. Next, the lamb had to be without blemish or defect. Leviticus 22 and 19. It was an abomination to God to offer up to him something that had a disease or a defect or broken limbs. You see, we don't just offer up to God anything we like. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that it must be an acceptable sacrifice. Next, the lamb was brought by the worshiper to the priest, and he, as the person who brought the lamb, would lay his hand on the animal's head as a symbolic transference of sin to him, from himself to the animal. The throat was cut. The worshiper came to grips with the fact that this innocent, pure lamb was taking his place. Sacrifices allowed God's anger to be appeased, which we call propitiation, and sins could be covered or pushed back until the true lamb one day would be given. And so now we come to the New Testament, and we find the forerunner for Jesus, John the Baptist, begins to prepare the way for Jesus. The rest of our time will be spent breaking down a passage in John chapter 1, verses 29. In verse 19 of that chapter, some come to John from the Pharisees and begin to inquire and say, "Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Or one of the prophets?" And John says, "I am not." "Who are you then?" they ask. John says, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the paths of the Lord.'" And in verse 29, the next day when he saw Jesus coming to him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Can you picture this? I have often in my mind when I read this passage, closed my eyes and for some reason pictured myself there. And I have often seen John the Baptist, a man's man, wearing camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, who was eating locusts and wild honey. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 11, verses 7 and 8, "What did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man dressed in soft clothing? But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, more than a prophet." John was the voice crying in the wilderness. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." How do you think John said that? Do you think he said it softly? Do you think he whispered it and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand"? No, that's not how I pictured John at all. I pictured John saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That's the forerunner of Jesus. That's how you sound the trumpet of the Lamb. John's prophetic utterance in the introduction of Jesus as the Lamb was done that way. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Let's look closely at this statement. The word behold, look at it. It says, take notice, look at. Actually, when you do much study on this word, amphilepo, to receive, to perceive, understanding. You see, John is not predominantly saying, I want you to look at Jesus merely with your physical eyes. He's saying, I want you to perceive and understand who this is. Understand what about him, John? What do you want me to see? John says, I want you to see the Lamb. Not just any lamb. Not just a lamb. Not just one of the lambs, like they were in the Old Testament, brought twice a day. See, Jesus is an antitype. A person, an antitype is a person or a thing represented or foreshadowed by something or someone that will eventually supersede that in the future. Jesus, the Lamb, is the antitype and far supersedes any animals or sacrifices. The Lamb was to be without blemish, carefully selected to make sure they didn't have any disease or defect. And the Lamb, not only did not have any disease or defect, but as Brother David Lane said, there was no flaw in his character. There was no blemish in his life. There was no guile in his mouth. No speck in his eye. No stain on his hands. There was no jealousy in his bones. No malice in his mind. There was no spot in his reputation. No envy in his disposition. There was no haughtiness in his spirit. No impurity in his personality. And no inconsistency in his promises. There was no sinfulness in his thoughts. This is the Lamb, the perfect Lamb. He is the only one, John 3:18, the only begotten of the Father, uniquely one of a kind. He is the best one, Colossians 1:18, the firstborn, the prototikos, the preeminent. He is the last one, Matthew 12 in verse 6. And so John says, behold, the Lamb. And then he says this, of God. Behold the Lamb of God. It's interesting here because when we look at the Old Testament, lambs were brought by the people, the firstlings of their flocks. But a closer look reveals that the sacrifices were actually from God. In Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8, in that story with Abraham and Isaac that we mentioned earlier, on the way up to the mountain, Isaac asked the question, where's the lamb? And you know, that's a really good question. I think I would have been asking that question a little nervously. Abraham responds, the Lord will provide for himself the lamb. Amen? Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar. I have given it to you. That's why James would say in James 1:17, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, that's grace. Listen to me. There is no room for self-promotion and pettiness of pride in Christianity. We have done nothing to deserve the gift of this lamb. God is the great provider and has always been the one who gives everything. And I want to stop here and mention something. You see, Christianity is different than any other religion. Look at it. Compare it. Christianity is outstanding among all, and we serve a different and outstanding kind of God. This is the only religion where the Creator becomes one of the created, and then he allows the created to mock, to mistreat, and crucify the Creator. Then immediately turns around, or in the process of it, and forgives those same people. My. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. No wonder Paul, would say in 1 Corinthians that this was a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. It doesn't make sense to the human mind without Christ. It's the greatest true story ever told in the history of the world. Lastly, listen to what John says. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, the Lamb and sins are directly connected. They are together in one purpose. Man has a problem. He has fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. In verse 10 of that same chapter, there is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 12, all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. We all have this common disease. The rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, the thief, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, yes, and even the undertaker are all under the dominance of sin, aren't they? We aren't all in this together in reference to COVID tonight. We are all in this together in reference to sin tonight. God knew this before the world began. How could God, in all his holiness and purity and intolerance to sin, provide a means of justice to punish the sin and save the sinner? Well, under the sacrificial system, it was done with animals, like lambs. But this was all preparatory and dependent upon the Lamb of God. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was a substitutionary sacrifice, a vicarious death on behalf of another. The biblical term for this is redemption. Brother Brent alluded to this in his fine lesson last night when he quoted 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like gold or silver from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, the blood of Christ. My good friend Avon Mentor used to give this illustration. Back in the old days when public schools still allowed corporal punishment, not like the days of today, that if Johnny did something wrong, Johnny's parents might be in trouble, or Johnny's teacher might be in trouble, or maybe even Johnny's principal could be in trouble, but not Johnny. But back in the days, in the old days, when there was corporal punishment and Johnny was in trouble, he was the one who was in trouble. A teacher stood before a group of unruly boys, and he said, anyone who gets caught stealing will be punished with a sound beating. Not too long after that, the teacher caught a boy stealing someone's lunch. The teacher called for the young man to stand up, and up stood a small, frail, weak-looking little boy. And the teacher considered to let it go, but knew it was necessary to uphold the letter of the law. And so his back was bared, and just as the crack of the switch was about to land, a tall, broad, strong young man stood up and said, he took my lunch, but he's not able to take that beating. I'll take it for him. And his back was bared. Listen, in a real sense, that young man became the substitute sacrifice for someone else's wrongdoing. And here we all stand, stammering and staggering from the weight of our sin in need of redemption because we can't bear the punishment. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah chapter 53, a very familiar passage to many of us because it deals with Jesus Christ. It deals with the prophet talking about what will come later concerning this lamb that we're discussing tonight. Verse 4 says, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being was upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. Friends, he went through a gruesome, painful experience that involved physical, emotional, and mental suffering. He was denied. He was deserted. He was disgraced. In Allen Webster's tract on the scourging of Jesus, he quotes an old-time gospel preacher, V.P. Black, who said, "They beat Jesus until his shoulder blades looked like two white caps on an ocean of blood. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And now as we come to our close, in John chapter 1, just a few verses down, in verses 35 through 37, John is again with his disciples. And he says again for the second time, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples stopped following him and started following Jesus. They became disciples of the Lamb. Listen, when we truly behold the Lamb, we will desire to be his disciples too. We will leave whatever person, job, pleasure, hobby, or whatever else we love, and we will follow the Lamb. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a song that's called "Watch the Lamb." Actually, as you begin to read it, you don't really realize it until partway through the song that this is the supposed point of view of Simon of Cyrene, who ends up bearing the cross. And it's a song about him on the road to Jerusalem with his two sons. And they have a lamb that they are bringing with him. And they say, "Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much we don't understand." And so he tells them about Moses and Abraham. And he says, "Dear children, watch the lamb." He says, "There's going to be a lot of people in Jerusalem today." But as they approached Jerusalem, he knew something was wrong. There were no joyful worshipers. There was no worship songs. He just stood there with his children in the midst of a bunch of angry men. And then he heard the words, "Crucify him." They tried to leave, but they did not get to. Because as you know, Simon was pressed into service to take that cross. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." And he couldn't hardly believe his eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body and from his brow, from the crown of thorns. He watched Jesus as he struggled, and he watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back, and then he was forced to help him carry that cross. He tried to resist him, but the soldier caught him. And it says they led us to Golgotha, and they drove nails deep into his hands and his feet. And he heard him say upon the cross, "Father, forgive them." And he said he'd never seen such love in any other eyes. He heard the words, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He prayed, and then he died. And then, as he stood there, he felt two tiny hands holding tight to his own. His two children were there weeping. And he heard the oldest one say, "Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away." "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here?" they asked. "There's so much we just don't understand." So I turned, I took them by the hand, and we turned and faced the cross. And I said, "Dear children, watch the lamb." Tonight, we are sounding the trumpet about the Lamb. If anyone wants to be a follower of the Lamb, he must deny himself and take up his cross. You see, to be a part of the Lamb, you have to obey the Lamb and his commands. Now, this word obedience is not too popular today. I understand that. But what this is humbly submitting to and accepting an offer the way that God asks us to accept it. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Truly give up all. My good friend again, Avon Malone, used to say, sometimes we get in such a hurry to tell somebody what to do that we forget to tell them what's been done. And I am convinced that sometimes we have done that. We must sound forth the trumpet about the Lamb. And when people behold the Lamb, as John told them to, and we see him and perceive him as we're supposed to, you won't have to tell us what to do. We'll be asking. We want to tell people what's been done. What's been done is God has sent the Lamb, and it's from God, and he's taken away the sins of the world. And a person who truly understands that, he will want to be a disciple of that kind of Lamb. In order to do that, we know the scriptures teach us, deny self, take up your cross, follow him. And following him means obeying his commands. And we know that God has asked us through the agency of Jesus Christ, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, that we are to repent of our sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and be prepared to be buried and immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Because that's when you come in contact with the blood of the Lamb. Tonight, I hope there's been some things that have been said that will enable you to understand more, not just about some sacrifices in the Old Testament, but especially about the Lamb. Please behold him. Watch the Lamb. Don't you want to be a part of him tonight? Don't you want to follow the Lamb? How can you say no to someone who's given so much? How can we say no to someone who sacrificed all that he had? Please, I urge you, if you have those kind of needs, please let it be known to the people that will be able to take care of that for you. Thank you for your time.
Yes, and thank you, my brother. I appreciate you so very much. We've done just what we wanted you to do tonight. The Lamb of God, you sounded your trumpet, man. There's a sound congregation in Edmond, Oklahoma. We're so thankful to learn of Brother Stubblefield and now Brother Wallace. What a blessing to have a preacher and an elder, both sound doctrine preachers and teachers of the Word of God. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, as we've said, we put this call on with you in mind. We pray now you've listened carefully to what's been said about the Lamb of God. God has done it, boy. What a great sacrifice, tremendous sacrifice. All the suffering that Jesus went through was for the saving of our precious soul. If you're on the call tonight, you say, well, Brother Brooks, I really want to be saved. I want to obey the Lamb of God. Get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to be baptized and washed in that blood of the Lamb and added to his church, the Church of Christ. That same church was purchased by his blood. And they'll get you to a Church of Christ preacher and teacher. They'll make sure you get further tall if you need to, or they make arrangements for your baptism. And if that person can't help you, go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make all those arrangements for you. And sure, we're going to teach it to you, get you further studied to make the arrangements for your baptism, whatever we need to do to help you save your soul. God has done his part. He sent that Lamb. An innocent Lamb done his part. Now you have to do your part. Now maybe you want to go back and listen a little more to the message tonight from Brother Wallace. Go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you can find the recorded messages for your personal use. You can download them and listen to them at your convenience. Take your time. Examine the information. But remember this. The Bible will not change for you. God's Word won't change for you. It's going to read the same way every time you read it. study that for yourself and consider obeying God before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings in life. Father, we thank you for loving us. We know you love us. And your Son became that lamb, that innocent lamb that will be slain for us. And we know that you saw his travail, you saw his pain. And though he cried out to you, you did not respond. He went through according to your will and not his. He said he would do his Father's will. He done that, Father. We thank you, God, that your Son loved us. It was him who said, greater love than no man than this. That he would lay down his life for his friend. We're so thankful that even as sinners, we can be considered friends of Jesus. Now we pray for our listening audience, especially those who are on the call who are not members of your Son's body, the church. They know we spoke the truth in love tonight, Brother Wallace, spoke it in love. Our program is built on love. We want our listening audience to know that we are only teaching the truth because we love our soul, and we want others to know we love their souls as well. Therefore, we dare not add to your word or take from it, for we recognize there are penalties that come with those type of decisions. Father, we love you. We pray for the Edmund, the Church of Christ there, Deerbrook in Edmond, Oklahoma. Bless that congregation and their members and their leadership. We thank you for their agreeing to come on our call, Brother Stubblefield and Brother Wallace. And we know their members are excited to know that the leaders are preaching the gospel. We're so thankful. We have so many calling in since the month of May. Our numbers have gone up. Father, we know that our program is reaching many, and your word will not come back void. Thank you, Father, for members of the church who are joining us. We pray they'll be edified, strengthened, and most importantly, they've left these basic truths on which we believe. They will see the error of their way and know they have departed from the faith and restored. But it's everlasting, eternally too late. We love you, Father, and we thank you for so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Another, we off to a great start this week. Tomorrow night, preacher, Brother Gary Smith, will bring us a message about why one should obey the gospel. And then his elder, Brother Barry Gibson, about the light of the gospel. And then Friday night, Brother Gage Coldwater will not be able to speak, but his elder, we're going to change spots for his elder, which is Monday night. There was a death in his family, someone he knew. It was dear to him, and he called me today. So he won't be on Friday night, but he'll be back on Monday night. And his elder going to take on that call for Friday night at his place. And he's just so thankful these guys are switching days. That'll be in the person, Brother Eddie Neal. He'll be Friday night, and the other brother will come on the following. That Brother Gage will come back on Monday night. So I hope I made that clear. Everyone, well, just keep staying tuned. Stay tuned with us, and we will continue to inform you. We love you all. If you want to support our ministry, our outreach, go to our website, highlightclc.net. Go to online giving, capital Nationwide Gospel Meeting. And you can support us there financially. However, if that is not something required, it is only if your heart so leads you in that direction. We promise you, we'll put it to the preaching of the gospel. No doubt. This is Brother Brooks. I sign off tonight. Love you. Have a good night.